welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to speak to a Gold Star son who now serves us in Congress and get an update on the Commander's Task Force with the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Deputy Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Brigadier General Sandy Best.
Maintaining personal readiness ensures that our force is physically and mentally prepared to execute the mission. It can be challenging for service members who drill one weekend a month to maintain the fitness level of those on active duty. That's why every Minnesota National Guard unit has leaders to assist soldiers and airmen with maintaining fitness goals and healthy lifestyles. It's vital for our service members to take advantage of the resources their units provide. In the meantime, make sure you try to have a healthy eating plan, attempt to get 7 or more hours of sleep daily, and of course, drink plenty of water. Please join me in making a commitment to the health and wellness of our force so that we can ensure the Minnesota National Guard is always ready.
Thank you, General Best. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Representative Dean Phillips is Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District. Dean is a father, businessman, civic leader, and representative for the Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District. He's also a Gold Star son who lost his birth father, Artie, in the Vietnam War. Dean was adopted into the Phillips family when his mother, Dee Dee, married Eddie Phillips, who raised Dean to work hard and always share success. Representative Phillips, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great to be with you. Honored to be on the show. Thank you.
Sir, can you tell us, Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District, that's just the west, just west of the Twin Cities, isn't it?
Yeah, Tom, it's the western suburbs of the Twin Cities, kind of surrounding the Lake Minnetonka area, about 750,000 people, and I think one of the, in fact, a unique district in the country, Tom, because we had the very highest turnout in the last election, 72%, and as the numbers look right now, the highest response rate to the United States Census that's being conducted right now. So a very engaged, thoughtful, and wonderful district to represent.
And, sir, I find your background to be very interesting. You attended Brown University before returning to Minnesota to earn your MBA from University of Minnesota's Carlson School. And you've worked in a number of businesses, family business and some other businesses before you decided to run for office.
Yeah, prepared. You know, I learned in business, Tom, that to succeed as you do in the services, to succeed, you can't do it on your own. You need, brothers and sisters that respect one another, are good listeners and ideators. And that's what I learned growing up in the business world. On my own for quite a while and working in our family businesses and now an entrepreneur as an owner of coffee shops. And I take that same those same lessons to Congress, a place that unfortunately does not operate in the manner that I know we wish it did. And I'm trying to inject a little bit of that decency and respect for one another and celebrating different perspectives.
Congressman, some of our lives take turns that we couldn't have predicted, and your life took a turn at an early age when your father was serving in the Army in Vietnam, and nobody wants to, but you became a Gold Star son, and then your life started taking a lot of different turns. Can you tell us what it's like to grow up being from a Gold Star family and a little bit about what happened with your father?
Sure, Tom, and I know you are a Vietnam veteran yourself, and I want to make sure to remind everybody of your extraordinary sacrifices and service too, and I thank you for that. I was born Dean Pfeffer, P-F-E-F-E-R, in January of 1969. When I was born, my dad had already been deployed to Vietnam, and he grew up in St. Paul, went to Central High School, grew up in a family of very, very modest means. His father, my grandfather, died when he was just a boy. And he was raised by my grandmother, Ruth, who worked at Kohl's department store in the Highland Village in St. Paul to make ends meet. And my dad went to the University of Minnesota, but couldn't afford to attend school without an ROTC scholarship. So he joined ROTC and was deployed to Vietnam. He served in the 525th Military Intelligence Group and was killed when I was just 6 months old. when his helicopter crashed into Dragon Mountain right outside of Pleiku. And I think about him every day, and have met so many that knew him and share their stories. In fact, Tom, just recently, one of the great blessings of my life, we uncovered a box of reel-to-reel tapes that he had sent to my mother, Dee Dee, when he was stationed in Vietnam. So I've been able to digitize those and get to hear his voice, which is one of the most extraordinary blessings I've had in a long, long time. So I think of him every day and honor all those, both those who came home from Vietnam and our other conflicts, and, of course, those who did not, and their families. I lived with my great-grandparents for the first 3 years of my life after my dad died. My mom was 24 and a widow, and that's how my life began. And I was very fortunate to be adopted by my father, Eddie Phillips, and brought into a family of many blessings. And I've lived on both sides of the advantage and recognize that good luck should not be the determinant of how we take care of the children, the spouses, the families, the loved ones of those we lose serving our country.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with Representative Dean Phillips on Minnesota Military Radio. How extraordinary that you were able to find some tapes where you could hear your father's voice after all those years. That must have been just a moment you'll never forget.
Oh, Tom, it's a beautiful experience, especially when you don't anticipate ever hearing that voice, and to hear him in his full humanity and on tough days, on good days, singing songs after a few beers, talking about the news of the day. It's an extraordinary, extraordinary feeling when I get to hear that voice.
And, sir, I'm sure you've heard from many other Vietnam veterans. It was, in my recollection of Vietnam, was with monsoon season all the time. It wasn't, but it felt like it. And that means that the visibility, especially in a U.S. Army helicopter, was spotty at best and sometimes. And he took off from Bambi Tui and headed towards Pleiku, and they got stuck up in some bad weather, and just a really terrible, unfortunate incident. And, of course, you were so young. I'm sure you only know about those things from talking to some of my fellow Vietnam veterans.
Indeed, and in fact, and there were two survivors in that helicopter crash. I've been trying for some years to reach out to them, so far without success. Eight of our soldiers died in that crash, and I think about those men just about every day of my life. What they had in front of them, what their children and their families suffered because of it, and very much illuminates the work I do in Congress now, Tom. Every day when I pull out my voting card, every day I attend a committee hearing, every day I meet with a veteran or convene with my own Veterans Advisory Council. I have my dad and so many millions on my mind who have given so much. And I also find it a responsibility to remind other Americans who take their freedoms for granted, I believe, far too often. About the sacrifices made on their behalf, and that's the responsibility, of course, of all of us.
And, Congressman, I'm sure you've heard from many of my fellow Vietnam veterans that one of the things that we've all said that we're going to do since we got back was to never again allow our military to be treated the way we were. In my view, the United States was in a hangover from World War II in Korea, and they didn't want any more wars, and we weren't treated very well, but I think the Vietnam veterans have done a great job in making sure that new generations are going out of their way to take care of those that are serving today. And to me, that's a hugely important, and I'm sure it is to you as well.
It sure is, Tom. In fact, I say every day I feel I'm telling somebody that I find it remarkable that our country, with all of its wealth and so many blessings and strength, seems to always find the resources to send our young men and women into conflict, and then somehow cannot find resources to take care of them upon their returns and their families. And, you know, that to me is appalling and irresponsible, and a responsibility of all of us in Congress and all of us around the country to advocate for, to ensure that we're taking care of people when they come back, whether that's housing, health, mental health, support, and honor. When you really get down to it, honor. It is one of the most honorable callings of which I'm aware, serving our country, and we should re-elevate that in everybody's minds. And I should say, too, Tom, I've encountered so many wonderful Vietnam veterans who are so deeply engaged in their communities, in trying to improve our country now, with the written word and activism and engagement. And I think it's a beautiful sight to behold. And I so honor you and all of your brothers and sisters.
Well, thank you, sir. And, of course, here in Minnesota, the Minnesota National Guard is always busy, always deployed since 9/11/2001. They're out, and they're all over the world. We've got soldiers over in the Middle East. We've got some in the Horn of Africa. We've got some going to Gitmo. We've just had a large group of soldiers out at the National Training Center. And they keep coming back. They keep reenlisting. They keep raising their arm and say, yes, I'm going to serve my country. And for me, sir, being a Vietnam veteran makes me proud to be a Minnesotan.
As it does me, Tom. In fact, my wife and I just visited our troops, including many Minnesotans, out in the Middle East at a number of our bases, Kuwait and Bahrain and others. And it was perhaps one of the most memorable weeks of my service in Congress, getting to break bread and spend time with our soldiers from Minnesota and deliver handmade holiday cards from young kids in the 3rd District. When I reflect on my first year and a half of service in our Congress, that absolutely was a highlight. And again, I encourage anybody who can open their eyes and hearts and minds to see that extraordinary work being done by so many Minnesotans around the world. It is a sight to behold, and we should be proud of every one of them.
Congressman, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little more about you being a Gold Star son and your activities out in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District. Please stay with us. We're speaking with Representative Dean Phillips on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Representative Dean Phillips from Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District, and we heard the story that led to him being a Gold Star son as he lost his father, Artie, in the Vietnam War. And, of course, his entire life changed, and he's made the most of it. And in Congress, I know that you're experiencing some great things out there, sir, but one thing I wanted to talk to you about was there's a small percentage of people in the United States that serve in the military these days, and I think it's less than 1%. And to me, being a Vietnam veteran, I think we owe a debt of gratitude to those that serve because they're protecting the freedom of this country and doing the things that we need to do so that the other 99% can go about their business and enjoy their lives. And I think you and some fellow congressmen have the same feeling, sir.
Absolutely, Tom. And of course, I don't want to say it's true of every American, but I think too many Americans take that for granted, that protection, that sense of safety and security that is borne on the shoulders and backs of so many of our volunteer soldiers. And it's a responsibility of mine and everybody in Congress and everybody around the country to take a moment and recognize everybody who serves, and especially on our national holidays that have all too often become about barbecues and relaxing and less about the real meaning of the holidays. I try to remind people all the time, and you know I serve with many veterans on both sides of the aisle in the different branches, and I see how their service is illuminated by their backgrounds, and want to inspire young people to recognize too that it is one of the most honorable pursuits one can choose to serve our country, and how lucky we are to be in a position where our volunteers do so on our behalf. It is an extraordinary, extraordinary, extraordinary gift to all of us.
Congressman, it seems like for many years now that there's been a lot of partisanship in politics, and particularly out in Washington, and one side fighting against the other side. And occasionally we see them come together to vote on some veterans issues to take care of those that have raised their hand and said, I will serve. But it seems like there's a constant tug and pull. Who's in charge? Is Congress in charge? Is the president in charge? And the two parties are fighting from my view. Is there any breakthrough coming? Do you see is Congress trying to pull together? And do you see where the parties work together on veterans issues?
I do, Tom. In fact, that's some good news. In general terms, in broad terms, you know, veterans affairs tend to be very bipartisan, shared by most on both sides of the aisle. And you know better than I do, you know, that when you're in a foxhole with somebody, you don't think about if they're a Democrat or Republican. You're working together, and that's the spirit that most of us actually in Congress do bring to the table. In fact, the best hour of my week in Congress is spent as a member of the Problem Solvers Caucus. We're 25 Democrats, 25 Republicans, a number of veterans amongst us. We're doing the work that we all wished the entire Congress did, and it starts not with policy, but it starts with the principle of getting to know each other, breaking bread, trusting one another, developing relationships and bonds that most develop in basic training. Unfortunately, Congress is not intentional about that basic training, which is something I've talked to a lot of my colleagues, especially the veterans, about how we can create and employ some type of a program to bring members of Congress together, no matter their color, their religion, their background, their geography, or their politics. If we don't do that with more intention, Tom, as you can imagine, we're going to be in for more and more discord. But the issue that you referenced, too, an example of that bipartisanship is that letter that I co-wrote with a number of my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Justin Amash, who's the only independent in Congress, Ken Buck, Scott Perry, and Chip Roy, Republicans, and Jared Golden, and Abigail Spanberger, my Democratic colleagues. And our letter was entitled, "We Differ in Our Politics, But We Agree on Congress's Power to Declare War." And we are deeply troubled by the fact that Congress has all but abdicated that role in the declaration of war and entering into conflicts. Article 1 of Section 8 of the Constitution clearly places the power to declare war in Congress. But whether it's because too many are timid, don't want to take the political risk, whatever it might be, it's inexcusable. And we are amongst a number advocating for Congress to reassert itself and fulfill the founders of our country's intent.
We're speaking with Representative Dean Phillips from Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, you mentioned caucuses, and the congressional caucuses are formed by members of Congress who wish to meet regularly in support of common legislative priorities. And among other caucuses that you serve on the Army Caucus, the National Guard and Reserve Component Caucus, and the Navy Marine Corps Caucus. So you're backing it up by talking with other members of Congress about issues that are important in those caucuses.
Indeed, and that's the most important time I spend in Congress is with my colleagues in those caucuses. Also, I'm a member of the Foreign Affairs Committee in the United States House of Representatives, comprised of many veterans on both sides of the aisle, and that is where a lot of these decisions start from. And that collaborative culture that we have on that committee too is something that I do revere, because too many of us see news reports all the time about the discord and the lack of collaboration in Congress. But I do want everybody listening to know that there are a lot of good people, most there for the right reasons, most of whom are thoughtful, trustworthy, collaborative colleagues that have the country's best interests in mind. And if we differ sometimes on the tactics to get there, that's one thing. But most of us share the same objectives. The sad truth is, Tom, that a handful on both sides seem to get a lot more of the attention than they deserve. And that's something that I wish people were more aware of, because there are some wonderful people doing good work on both sides of the aisle.
Sir, we just got a few minutes left, and I know now today that you have your father and Vietnam veterans in your heart, but I understand you also have a Veterans Advisory Council. Can you tell us how they help you?
Absolutely, Tom. It's one of the most outstanding and impactful groups with which I surround myself, and we're comprised of CVSOs, of course, County Veteran Service Officers, representative from the Reserves and MACV and the Minnesota Military Exchange and the Vet Center in my district in Brooklyn Park. And we convene oftentimes with me at the table so I can listen, learn, share ideas, share legislation for opinion. And my council also meets without me regularly to congregate, trade ideas, and because so many of them work in silos, we actually create a place and a space that people can trade ideas and be more collaborative. I think one of the great challenges we face as we consider veterans affairs and the delivery of health care and mental health and the like, is how do we break down these silos? So many people working on the same issues so hard all around the country. How do we connect people? So in one of my core roles is to connect. And my veteran service and my Veterans Advisory Council, I should say, is comprised of outstanding people. And their actions and what they've shared with me has actually led to legislation, successful legislation and amendments to the NDAA that have now been signed into law.
Congressman, we've just got a couple of minutes left, but you're convincing me today that there's a lot of good, hard work going on behind the scenes that the media ignores, and maybe the media today is pretty rough. They're just reporting disputes, but sounds like there's some good things happening behind the scenes.
There is, and Tom, I'm glad you say that, because I'm sure it's not unlike the experience of many who are listening now, veterans listening to this radio show. You know, we don't do it for the glory. We don't do it for the national attention. We don't do it for the media glare and spotlight. You know, we do it because it's important work serving our country. And even if it is not well recognized, even if the media doesn't give us a lot of attention, that does not make it less important, less imperative, or less purposeful. And I'm glad to be able to share with everybody listening that your Congress has some darn good people who are deeply committed, who sacrifice a lot themselves in the best interest of the country. And Democrats and Republicans are strangely more friendly, more respectful, and more decent to one another than anybody would imagine. And I hope that we can share that, spread that, and perpetuate that, not just in Congress, but throughout this country, and we all have a role to play in that.
Sir, we just got a few seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No, well, I want to say thank you. Whether you are active service right now, if you are a veteran, if you are a family member, I thank you all. I love you all, and I'm grateful to you all. And our country has some tough work ahead. There's no question. And I've never been so honored, so proud to be a Minnesotan, and to do our work in Congress and represent some of those who might be listening today. So I say, please keep the faith. Share with me your ideas, your perspectives, even your criticisms, because nothing is more important than taking care of those who have committed and in many cases lost so much in service to our country. So Godspeed. And Tom, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Sir, thank you for taking the time to join us today. That was Representative Dean Phillips from Minnesota's 3rd Congressional District. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to get an update on the Commander's Task Force with the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Who are the movers and shakers in your communities? They may not boast about their service, but if you ask, you'll find that many of them are veterans. They are the leaders who take the initiative when something needs to be done. Give them the opportunity and they will exceed your highest standards. The men and women who have worn the uniform are driven to succeed. They are poised and ready for the next mission, their mission back home in Minnesota. This mission will be in the companies and small businesses across the state. If you're looking for a smart, dependable employee, look to a veteran. For additional information on how to hire a veteran, go to MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now is Trent Dilks, a veteran of the Iraq War, who was appointed as the Department Adjutant for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota in April 2019. In his current role, he oversees all operations for the organization, which includes over 19,000 members and 32 chapters statewide. Trent, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me back.
Trent, I want to make sure that our listeners are aware you're the adjutant, but before you became adjutant, you spent quite a few years as legislative director for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely. I served in that role, and I continue to be active there. And I was also recently appointed to the National Interim Legislative Committee. So I continue to work on those issues as part of our national organization as well.
And back in the old days, you served in the Army National Guard.
I did two tours overseas with them. I served as a machine gunner as part of that long 22-month deployment with the Red Bulls out of Minnesota.
Well, very good, sir. We wanted to talk a little bit today about an organization called the Commander's Task Force. Can you explain to our listeners just what the CTF is? What is the Commander's Task Force, Trent?
Yeah, the Commander's Task Force here in Minnesota is made up of the 9 congressionally chartered service organizations, and it's really a place for us to come together representing our membership and the veterans and their families in Minnesota and advocate for change. So we're focused on legislative issues, legislative changes, and we've really specialized in what can be done at the state level in the Commander's Task Force.
And Trent, we've worked with the Commander's Task Force quite a bit over the last decade, and one of the things we look forward to every year is Vets Day on the Hill. But that was changed a little bit this year due to the coronavirus. We had to do a virtual show about the priorities that you were trying to get through the state legislature this year.
Yeah, that was a tough one for us. And I personally have been involved with the organizing of Veterans Day on the Hill for the last 5 years. And, you know, 5 years ago we had one, and quickly we had to put chairs away. We didn't have a lot of veterans and supporters showing up. And so we really revamped that, and we've had it standing room only. And it's really been a focal point to get us energized and active on topics. So it was tough to go this year and not have one of those in person.
And Trent, we've had a tough year because of the coronavirus. Everybody in Minnesota has been distracted by it. A lot of businesses were shut down. And, of course, the state legislature was having to deal with that. So at the end of the normal session, they really didn't get much done. And I know that when they came back into special session, you kind of dropped your priorities and tried to focus on one item. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a tough year for everybody. And, you know, politics makes it even tougher when we're not moving forward. And unfortunately, the reality of this year was we were going to try and just lock in the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. And that was a bill to help create a framework that would expand veterans courts into communities across Minnesota, especially greater Minnesota, where we don't have a lot of the veterans courts active, to try to get those resources spread out and access to that equal across Minnesota.
Now, it's my understanding that the legislature really didn't have a time or didn't get to that in that last special session. Is that correct?
Well, unfortunately, it's pretty close. This is the third year of the Veterans Restorative Justice Act. So this wasn't news. They all should have had an opportunity to hear about it. And it gained a little bit of ground in the special session. But unfortunately, the Minnesota State Senate failed to suspend their rules and move it forward to get it passed. So really, we were one vote away from getting this and creating that access to get veterans the help they need and get them out of the justice system early before they become kind of the lifers in and out of the criminal justice system.
We're speaking with Trent Dilks, the Department Adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Trent, are you expecting another special session? What are you expecting on Capitol Hill for the rest of this year?
I expect that they will. You know, there's talk about in August another special session to try to get their work accomplished. Unfortunately, we don't seem to be getting the buy-in that we need. It surprises me because we saw at a federal level funding and framework for justice, veteran justice courts. We all know how dysfunctional they've been federally. It passed unanimous consent in the House of Representatives and in the U.S. Senate and signed into law by the president here recently. So if they could do it unanimously, we're pretty disappointed here in Minnesota that we can't get this done after 3 years.
Well, Trent, I've heard a lot of people talk about 2020 as kind of a lost pandemic year. There's been a lot of distractions with that, and, of course, the recent riots and protests and trouble with the police and the state legislators have had a lot of things to work on with the governor and with the bonding bill and with some police reform. And from my point of view, I think it's probably not a surprise that they didn't really get around to any of the veterans' issues.
No, it's not. But unfortunately, it also repeats a pattern. you know, we did a lot of work on keeping surviving spouses in their home, and that took 5 years of work. This was a fully fleshed out bill with support, the Veterans Restorative Justice Act, with support from judges, lawyers, prosecutors, all across the aisle. It had bipartisan authors, and it was on its third year. So I wouldn't have thought we had a chance if this was new or if we were trying something that was kind of outside of their knowledge base. But we were a little bit hopeful that it had been through hearings and it had been around for 3 years that we might be able to break through, even given all of the other things going on.
Trent, I know you're still working on it, and so are the rest of the commanders at the CTF. And one of the benefits from putting all of those veteran service organizations together via the Commander's Task Force is you get to add up all of the membership of all those organizations when you go over to the Hill, and they know that you're representing a lot of veterans.
It's absolutely true, and it's one of the reasons we encourage people to try to find an organization, whether it's the DAV, American Legion, VFW, to get involved with. And if they can't be regular attendees, to lend their voice through membership, it really does add to our ability to go over there and advocate for these things and to try to make progress and get things done for Minnesota's veterans.
Well, Trent, we've got a few more things I want to talk about, but we have to take a short break. We're speaking with Trent Dilks, Department Adjutant of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Trent Dilks, the Department Adjutant for the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota, and we've been talking about the Commander's Task Force, which is made up of the 9 federally chartered veteran service organizations, and the impact that they have over on Capitol Hill with their legislative priorities. And Trent, I wanted to ask you, due to the COVID, I understand that most of the veteran service organizations have not been able to have their conventions where the elections take place because they've been canceled. Does that mean that most of the current commanders are staying on for another year?
A lot of them are staying on. I know here with the DAV, our commander will be carrying over for a second year. I do know that the VFW was able to kind of move along their chairs, so they do have a new incoming commander, but a lot of them are staying the same, and it'll be interesting to work with that kind of continuity in the commander's task force and to see what we can accomplish there. So it does present an opportunity for us as well.
Well, Trent, I would think for legislatively, having most of those commanders back for another year, they're up to date on what their priorities were for last year. It should be quicker and easier to update that again and get ready to get back up on the Capitol and get an old-fashioned Vets Day on the Hill, get all the veterans in and do it right in 2021.
Absolutely. We should be able to start strong out of the gate, and including during election time. We're going to be more active in getting responses from candidates on both sides in a nonpartisan way. But in getting their stance, it's surprising sometimes how little some of these candidates know. I've had candidates say, well, I think veterans are a federal issue as they were running for state office. So we got to educate while they're out there campaigning.
Well, I know for you, for one, having been legislative director, looking forward to that and another year to go get some things done for our veterans. Trent, I want to come back and talk a little bit about DAVMN.org. COVID, I think, has hurt everyone, and I know a lot of your funding comes from household donations and clothing donations, those type of things. How's the year going for the DAV? How's your fundraising going?
It's been a tough year. It's been a tough year for the DAV, and I think it's been a tough year across the board, which is understandable. We had to close down our household donations there for several months. Slowly, we're starting to pick that back up, and updates are available on that DAVMN.org. So we're slowly starting to pick back up. But throughout the entirety of it, we haven't interrupted our services and the things that we're able to provide for veterans. And I'm very proud of that part of it as well.
And Trent, we hear from the Minneapolis VA that the hospitals are slowly opening back up and trying to get the veterans in for some things that they've delayed due to COVID. How's your transportation system going? Are you still hauling our veterans to their medical appointments?
throughout this entire pandemic and situation, we have been running our transportation program. We're actually the only state in the upper Midwest. If you look at all of our neighbors, they were required to shut down. But we have a very professional staff. The DAV of Minnesota has invested in regional coordinators that have been able to ensure safety in ways our neighbors weren't able to. And throughout this entire thing, we have been transporting veterans, especially to critical appointments. Veterans have to get in for their cancer treatments. They have to get in for dialysis, things like that. And we've remained a resource to them throughout this entire thing.
So, Trent, I know all those vans you've put in place, they're manned by volunteer drivers. Are you still looking for more drivers?
We are always looking for more volunteer drivers. It's an ongoing effort. We understand that right now is a tough time, but it's also taking a lot longer to get them in process. So if there's anyone who thinks, well, maybe not right now, but as things, as we come out on the other side of this, they'd be interested. Now's the time to start that process, get you in touch with one of our coordinators. Again, at that davmn.org, all of our local programs are listed there under transportation, and absolutely there's an opportunity to give back and help out.
So the quickest way for them to sign up and become a driver is go to davmn.org and click on that stuff, and let's help get our veterans to their appointments. Trent, how about the fall hunting and fishing? Is some of that canceled, some of it on? We just got about a minute.
Yeah, there's a mixture of it. We're trying to find safe ways to do it, and so DAV is still looking to hold some of our fall and into the winter and ice fishing events. And again, our website, davmn.org, we post the updates there for those, as well as the ones that we join together with our Legion and VFW to put on. So the latest information as everything comes out is available there.
And if we have disabled American veterans listening, they can go to the same website, davmn.org, and learn how to join a great organization.
Absolutely. I'd call us probably the best, but I might be a little biased.
Well, we'll take that up at the next CTF meeting and see what the other veterans service organizations have to say. But I'm with you, Trent. Trent, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, and stay safe out there.
You stay safe as well, Trent, and all the best. That was Trent Dilks, the adjutant for the Minnesota Disabled American Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Tim Leonhardt from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's an honor to be here.
Tim, how are you and all the Patriot Guard riders doing during this lost COVID-19 year?
Well, we're doing pretty good. You know, we're still... Anybody that sends us an invitation, we try to honor it. We haven't missed a one yet. So,
well, you were out of business for a few months, but you've been going on your missions for a while now, haven't you?
Yes, we have.
And another thing that was crippled a little bit was the Patriot ride. And I know you had a virtual ride. How'd that go?
Don't know yet. We're still bringing in all the information. That was in the middle of July, so there's still a lot of people that are getting their pictures in and, you know, all the rest of the information. So it's still coming.
So instead of all coming together and having those thousands of motorcycles starting all at once, you asked everybody to go on their own ride and send in some photos and send in their registration fees. And so in a difficult year, you found a way to get it done.
Yep, we did. You know, so yeah, it's a difficult year. You know, it really made us feel bad because we couldn't go to any funerals and stuff like that for a while. And now that we're back being able to do that, it's, you know, it makes us feel better that we can give those soldiers those honor, dignity, and respect that they deserve.
Now, Tim, I ask you this every time, but who's eligible to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Anyone that has the heart for our military and has a 3x5 flag and some way of getting to the missions.
And they don't have to arrive on a motorcycle like you like to do.
Nope, they don't. They just, any way they can get there, even Tom coming in on his parachute.
Yeah, you've got me in a parachute now, Tim? I think I gave that up.
We talked about that one time.
Many years ago, we gave that up. But they can arrive in their truck. They can come any way they want. And how do they sign up to be a rider?
just go to your to our website, mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left side it says join us, and just fill out all the information. We'll send you, we'll put you on the emailing list for your area, and we'll only send you things that pertain to the mission. We don't sell that. We don't do anything else with that information other than supply it to you so that you have a better understanding of what missions are available.
And the missions are, you go to funerals for our veterans who have passed, and you go to departure ceremonies and welcome home ceremonies. I know you like those welcome home ceremonies, but
I
understand
that's my
favorite. You helped send off some troops that were departing recently.
Yes, we did. We sent we were there for the 194th Field Artillery Battalion 3 or C out of Alexandria, and we have an honor to be able to do that, to let those soldiers know that there's American people here that really appreciate what they do.
So did you have a good contingent of riders up there to send them off to him?
No, we had enough, you know. And one of the things that I like to mention is when we do these deployments, even the welcome home, sometimes we don't put any information on our calendar. We don't send it out to our people. We just say, we're doing a deployment, here's where to meet. And at that time, when you come to the meeting place, we'll fill you in on the information. We don't want to give out information to anybody that really doesn't need to have that information. We don't want people showing up that don't belong there.
So security is always important, Tim.
Yes, it is. You know, and we try to be very conscious of what's going on around us.
Well, Tim, we've talked to a lot of troops that have seen the Minnesota Patriot Guard at departure ceremonies, and they've told us how important it is that you're there to send them off, and they're always looking forward to seeing you again when they come home. So thanks for doing all that great work. And it's all about what? Honor, dignity, and respect.
Dignity and respect. Yes,
Tim,
sir.
I want you to be safe out there this summer and this fall on your motorcycle, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Yep, thank you.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Representative Dean Phillips, Trent Dilks from the DAV of Minnesota, Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Deputy Adjutant General, Brigadier General Sandy Best. Please join us next week as we talk about the VA's work on suicide prevention and meet the team at the ESGR, Minnesota's employer support of the Guard and Reserve. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.